This is Jordan Secchio. Today, an update on the case of imprisoned pastor Andrew Brunson in Turkey.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
And welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. There's a lot to talk about today. We wanted to use this opportunity to really get you up to speed on what the American Center for Law and Justice has been doing, our legal work, our policy work here in the United States and around the world. We've been focusing a lot on news. Now, some of that news we're very involved in. You know, I think that when it comes to the Russia issue, Bruce Orr issue, when it comes to other issues involving Israel that we discussed earlier in the week, we're very involved at the American Center for Law and Justice. But there are a lot of cases. There's a lot of issues that we can't get to every day on Jay Sekulow Live because we try to provide you with up-to-the-minute analysis. A lot of you get the broadcast live or are looking to us as a news source and a news analysis source, so to take the news of the day and analyze it for you so that you're well-informed. So when we're spending our time doing that, I encourage a lot of you to go to ACLJ.org and see all of the work that we're doing at the American Center for Law and Justice. It's a whole lot more than the one or maybe two topics that we get to on air here on Jay Sekulow Live. So there are times and opportunities on our radio broadcast where we want to get you up to speed because we ask for your support. You know, we have a matching challenge right now at ACLJ.org as we come towards the end of the month. Right now, again, it's a great time to support the work of the ACLJ because your donation is doubled. And that's at ACLJ.org. But a lot of times on the show, you might be hearing us talk about a news issue and not say, hey, wait, where is this going exactly? Not just for this broadcast, but for all the work that the American Center for Law and Justice is doing. So you can go to ACLJ.org, but you can also listen to today's broadcast and really get up to speed on that as well and learn a lot about what the ACLJ is doing. We have attorneys all over the country working on cases, pro-life cases, Planned Parenthood cases, cases involving the state of Israel, the news of the day, but also some that don't get as much attention, international issues. We have offices around the world, active at the UN. So what we wanted to do was really to get you into this specifically and let you kind of know what is going on at the ACLJ. What are you supporting specifically right now if you're donating to the American Center for Law and Justice? And I will tell you that even on this broadcast, I can't get into everything. We can't discuss it all in one radio broadcast. It would take weeks to discuss all of the different cases we've got. And that's cases in court that we have or pending before the Supreme Court or in international tribunals. And then, of course, all of the policy and government affairs work that we do as well. Now, one place that does that, though, is our website, and that's at ACLJ.org. At ACLJ.org, you can also support the work of the ACLJ. What do I mean? We have a matching challenge right now. Whatever you're able to donate online is doubled for the American Center for Law and Justice at ACLJ.org. So you go online, you'll see a donate button right now. And you can see all the work that we're doing. And I think that is a wonderful resource for you, which we don't always get to talk about in this radio broadcast. And support that work directly because none of it happens. This show doesn't come to you, but all those other issues that you see us working on, that does not occur without your support. You know, we're not charging those clients. We're not charging you for this broadcast. We're able to bring it to you because of your support for the American Center for Law and Justice. You can donate online right now, and this matching challenge only goes until the end of this month at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Your donation will be doubled. What does that mean? If you donate $5, someone else has said, okay, if Joe donates $5, I'm going to donate $5 to match that. So you're not going to be charged twice or anything. I want to make sure that's clear. Your donation will count, though, as doubling. So it's a $20 donation becomes like $40 to the ACLJ. If you've thought about supporting us or you have in the past, this is a great time to do it again or make your first donation. Be part of the matching challenge. It only goes until the end of the month at ACLJ.org. We'll be right back.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, ACLJ.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast. Taking your calls at 800-684-3110. We're talking about Turkey. We're going to be taking your calls as well at 800-684-3110. We're talking this segment, though, about Andrew Brunson, and we need to do that because the president has laid down a very strong marker here, and he's saying no concessions in light of the fact that the president feels that Erdogan had a deal that was the United States would help in securing the release of a Turkish citizen being held by the Israelis. He did that, and the Israelis released the Turkish citizen, and they did not return Brunson home. They merely turned him to house arrest.
This is just reneging on a deal is what he did. And there's no doubt about it. He didn't even put other conditions perhaps on it that made the demand to the president, President Trump, unpalatable and told him he wasn't going to do it. But this is not unusual in Turkish negotiations with the Ottomans. And then we have to understand that Recep Tayyip Erdogan considers himself a successor of the Ottomans. He is the new Sultan of Turkey, and he does the things the way the Sultanate does it. And one of those things is to renege on a deal when at the last minute he doesn't get what he wants.
Which is exactly what's happened here, Wes.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah. And he has proven over and over again that he's moving Turkey away from the West more and more towards basically what will be an Islamist republic. And since October of 2016, when Pastor Brunson was first captured, you know, arrested, Turkey, or at least Erdogan, has proven not to be a good faith partner in negotiating anything about Pastor Brunson. And he's only exacerbated it and continues to move more towards Iran and Russia and move away from NATO and the United States. And we have some control over our attitudes towards Turkey. We have no control over Erdogan's movements towards Russia, Iran, and his inability or unwillingness to negotiate concerning Pastor Brunson.
So let me bring up this question, because this is so for everybody in our radio and TV audience, understand this is a multilateral situation that we have. You've got the United States-Turkey-NATO relationship, and then you got the Turkey-Iran-Turkey-Russia relationship. Part of the concern of the House and Senate fan has been that Turkey's desiring to obtain that Su-400 anti-aircraft missiles and for aircraft, and it's our F-35 aircraft we're giving them or selling to them.
Well, Turkey wants to buy the S-400 from the Russians, buy the F-35 from us, and then, you know, play each against each other.
That's a pretty good deal, find out each country's technology.
Well, look, and under a previous administration, they might have gotten away with it. But, Jay, this administration and the Congress have spoken with one voice. Both the S-400 and the F-35 were mentioned in the National Defense Authorization Act. If the purchase of the S-400 would be sanctionable if they go through with that, and the Congress has delayed the delivery of the F-35s. But on the hostage point, Jay, I mean, Wes is certainly correct that this is how President Erdogan has started behaving. But I would tell you this. If he thinks that that is going to convince President Trump to change his mind, he is living in a fantasy world, because President Trump, before he was a president, before he was a candidate, spoke clearly about ransom payments. And he knows if the United States starts paying ransoms, more Americans will be taken. So his policy of we will pay nothing, yep. Jay, that's the correct one. We have been inconsistent on that for years now.
All right, we're going to go right to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. Who do we have next?
Tony in Oregon online too. Tony, welcome to JSecio Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Tony. Go ahead.
Hi. My understanding is that Erdogan is taking Turkey away from NATO and becoming an Islamic Republic. But the thing is we have a base over there that still has tactical nukes on it. It's a dangerous situation, and we really need to remove them from Turkey before he decides he wants to just take our base and keep the nukes.
Yeah,
do we know if there are nukes on that
base? Yes, sir. There actually are. That was something that I just found out doing my research this week. We have almost 100 nuclear weapons, and they're not just tactical. We provide the nuclear umbrella, the protective umbrella for NATO and Western Europe.
Explain that some. I think that's important for people to understand.
Yeah, well, in order to avoid nuclear proliferation and all of our NATO allies in Western Europe having individual weapons, although some of them do, probably France and the United Kingdom, in order to keep other nations from wanting it, under our NATO alliance, we agree to protect them from attack, keeping in mind that NATO was founded to counter Russian aggression. And so in Turkey, at Incirlik Air Base, we have almost 100 nuclear weapons that are stored there so that if the unthinkable happens, that we could protect Western Europe and our NATO allies if it came out to an all-out nuclear war. And the caller's right. It is very complicated, because strategically we need the base for our missions in the Middle East, but we also, if we lost that base, and I can't see that happening, we would have to secure and remove those nuclear weapons. You would not want those falling into the hands of Erdogan.
Andy, do you think that they are, I mean, you've studied Turkey for a long time, and we've done work at our Oxford Center, we published a book on it.
Right.
Do you think they want out of NATO, or it's just, this is their head fakes? They need the NATO presence, because they've had difficulty with, even though they're trying to cozy up to Russia, they've had historically a very difficult time with Russia.
Erdogan wants his halva and to eat it too, basically, is what it is. He wants to stay within the Turkey, the alliance.
You know, most people don't know what halva is.
Halva is a Turkish
sesame.
It's a sesame and honey pressed together with
some substance paste,
and that's what he wants. He wants his halva.
My people like it too,
and to eat it too, because he wants to keep the alliance with the within NATO. He doesn't want to leave NATO. That's the protective shield.
No, because if he leaves NATO and their economy's crumbling like a piece of halva. Actually,
it is crumbling, and halva does crumble when you eat it. But he's been in, who's the cause of that, Jay? Who's been in power for 16 years running the Turkish government and every other aspect of the Turkish economy, judiciary, social, political, military system? One man, Recep Tayyip Erdogan.
Yep.
Let's go right back to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. Jared in Texas on line 5. Jared, welcome to JSecio Live.
Jared, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Thanks, guys. Is there anything else that the UN could be doing to put pressure on, remove Turkey from maybe some, you know, councils, or, you know, or is it just...
It's not so much removing them from the councils. The UN's Committee on Arbitrary Detention has taken up the case of Andrew Brunson, and that is a UN committee that does that, and they only take about 30 cases a year, and they've taken the case of Andrew Brunson. So we have been, as an institution, the American Center for Law and Justice, our European Center for Law and Justice, have been very engaged at the UN on Brunson's behalf, Jordan.
Yeah, that's right. So I think that the UN has done what it can, especially when you've got NATO involved. So you've got this much broader international organization, and then you've got the really unique military alliance with NATO. And when you have that kind of partnership, again, we talk about this, when it's a U.S. pastor, it's going to be the United States has to take the lead. When it's a NATO ally, it's going to have to be NATO. It's a step past the U.N. So I think the U.N. is engaging. We've been engaging that. His daughter's given testimony before. So I think that what you do there is you're shaming Turkey in a sense every opportunity you have to keep reminding people that they're not some great Western democracy, that this is a place where you can be arbitrarily detained. Like our State Department has warned Americans about traveling to Turkey, that you may just be arrested because you're an American or and a charge against you because you're a Christian, and so that no one is safe. Those kind of countries, I will tell you, they can't stand those reminders in Turkey. They wear their fancy suits. They try to act very diplomatic and formal and secular to some extent. But they've got a government there that is embracing Islamic politics. And so that is something I think very dangerous for the Turkish people. And you look at Erdogan's language about this attack on the call to prayer from the United States. That's not that dissimilar from the language you'd hear out of a Iranian Ayatollah or even some kind of radical from a terrorist organization.
He's trying to incite religious fervor and nationalism to counter the United States.
Yeah, at
the same time. So, Than, you look at it. You know, we talked about our engagement in the UN, but let's talk about what is Washington's sense of where this is right now, as we've reached a bit of an impasse with Turkey.
I actually think across the aisle, Jay, they see it the same way the president does. They think that President Erdogan has reneged on an offer and he's engaged in hostage taking, and they do not believe that ransom should be paid. Jay, I think that they stand ready to escalate the sanction or the pressure on Turkey. We mentioned the language in the state foreign appropriations bill. I think that will go forward. I think they are committed to returning to the F-35 issue if they need to, Jay. But I go back to the point that the conversation you just had with Jordan. I think they also want the rest of the world to gather behind the United States on this. You go to the Human Rights Council, they're too focused on condemning Israel to engage in an issue like this. And if you want to talk about something with teeth, the Security Council, you know, they're protected by a veto from Russia. So the United States House and Senate is ready to move, and I think they will move. October 1st is the deadline for those appropriations bills, and I would expect new statutory sanctions in them. But look, this has been the president's lead, and I think across the aisle, both Republicans and Democrats, I think they're supportive of his posture.
Here's what the president said. I got the person out for him, talking about the Turkish citizen that was in Israel. I expect him to let this very innocent and wonderful man and great father and great Christian out of Turkey. He also said, I like Turkey. I like the people of Turkey very much. Until now, I had a very good relationship, as you know, with the president. I got along with him great. I had a very good relationship. But it can't be a one-way street. It's no longer a one-way street for the United States.
It is a great time, an important time, to support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice. Your donation will be doubled at ACLJ.org. We're a couple hundred thousand dollars short of our monthly goal, but we know we can reach it with your support. What does it mean to have a matching challenge? It means that if you donate $5, someone has pledged to match your donation. And all of those that come in, there is a deadline. So you've got to support the ACLJ now. What are you supporting? You're supporting this broadcast, so we're able to bring it to you every day, but a whole lot more than that. You're supporting all the legal work, all the cases that we do at the American Center for Law and Justice, all the policy work, the international work we do, and the work that we do around the world, that is all because of you. That's how we're able to do it. So donate right now. Be part of our matching challenge at ACLJ.org.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, aclj.org.
Back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. President Trump, in an interview with Reuters, this is an interview that was a wide-ranging topics, but one of those topics that came up was the situation with Turkey and Pastor Brunson, the targeted sanctions, the tariffs on Turkey, and the idea that there could be more sanctions coming on Turkey. When he was speaking on the issue, President Trump said directly that there would be no concessions, that he was, again, that already had made a deal with the Turkish president on an individual who was released from Israeli custody and returned to Turkey, and no more concessions. The actual quote, there will be no concessions, specific to our client, Andrew Brunson. And he is not, again, he's in a house arrest situation, so it's much better than being in a prison situation. This has gone on for 2 years. The Trump administration's work on this really began as far back as their transition. They were getting updated on this and ready to go as they came into control of the U.S. government at the executive branch. So we're going to take your phone calls on this at 1-800-684-3110. The rhetoric has also increased in Turkey with a direct call at the end of the Eid holiday. You may have seen a lot of those videos going around yesterday. And Erdogan, the president of Turkey, he sent out his own video and said that this attack by the U.S. is, quote, an attack on our call to prayer and our flag. So he's invoking Islamic politics and nationalism together there. And went so far as to say, we are a nation that prefers to be shot in the neck rather than to be chained at the neck. So the rhetoric, again, you can understand this coming across the end of a holiday in the Islamic world. 1-800-684-3110. Let's go right back to the phone. Shelly has been holding on in California on line 6. Shelly, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, I just wanted to say that I support the president completely with his stance on Turkey. They need to know that they'll gain absolutely nothing by taking one of our people. But do you think that the Turkish people are supportive of this? Because they used to be sort of Western-like, or they were trying to be. And so I'm wondering, do you think that they support this? And also, I know you don't have a crystal ball, but do you see this coming to a good end for Pastor Brunson? I mean, ultimately, he is in God's hands. But
you know, I think one of the biggest concerns for Pastor Brunson is when you have the rhetoric like this, and so he's under a house arrest situation. He's got security there from the Turkish government also. But when you use this kind of rhetoric, and I am telling you, whereas our media really started covering this the last few months, this is every day in every Turkish newspaper, on every Turkish news broadcast, attacking Andrew Brunson, making him out to be this major threat. The people in Turkey, you would think still economic interest would be more important. Most of the articles, even against Andrew Brunson, against the U.S. policy, and have been still about the economics. I mean, they still that's where they feel like they're reaching people. They're trying to shift the blame, though. But the world economists are now starting to weigh in on this and saying that really Turkey's trying to use this to explain away a problem that was already coming.
Yeah, so the problem that was definitely coming under 16 years of Erdogan. I mean, if you look at what happened, the Turkish lira having lost 40% of its value, this incredible building that's been going on in Istanbul, and I think they have hundreds of thousands of empty units that they can't sell, the debt that they have accumulated, which is an enormous quantity of money payable in U.S. dollars, not in lira. The general malaise in the economy, the failure to control the inflation, the failure to raise the interest rates in an economically sound way, all these things augur very poorly for the Turkish economy in the long run. And ultimately, all his statements with respect to not chaining us on the neck or attacking our call to prayer or desecrating our flag are going to mean nothing when it comes down to the inability of the Turkish people to just put regular staples in their mouth, food and commodities and get gas and petroleum and things that they need like that. That stuff is going to come to hurt Erdogan, and I don't think he sees it because he is so incredibly proud and so incredibly arrogant. He's taken on, as I said before, the sultanic qualities.
All right, we're going to go right back to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Dennis in Nevada on line one. Dennis, welcome to JSEC Yo Live.
Hi, Dennis.
Hi, and thank you, and we contribute.
Oh, now, we appreciate that. Point, thanks.
Okay, we to the point. No matter, I don't know, you asked about what we advise the president to do. I can't say, but I have one thought on no matter how this comes out, or if it comes out good, whether we're actually going to sell these planes to them, they should not get any planes unless they actually pay for it. Now, my take is they shouldn't get any F-35s, period. He reneges on deals. We're going to renege on deals. I know you guys will have
Let me go right to Than Bennett on that. I mean, Than, where do you see Congress? I mean, there doesn't seem to be a lot of wiggle room with Congress put forward.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of different layers to this. First of all, in the actual payment for them, I would tell Dennis they do pay for them. It's a private purchase from Lockheed Martin. It's the United States that has to authorize the delivery to Turkey. So the two planes that would first go to Turkey are currently in Arizona right now. And the language in the National Defense Authorization Act says those planes cannot be delivered to Turkey for the next 90 days while the report assessing the ramifications is worked on. So that's number one. But then the second point, Jay, on the security component, look, Turkey, we want Turkey to be an ally. We want a security partnership with him. You've had this conversation with Wes. Of course, it has to be a two-way street, which is why I think that quote from the president was so important, that it's no longer going to be a one-way street for the United States. You want that security alliance in place. But look, I think the Congress has been very clear. If Pastor Brunson's not home, I think that F-35 language will be extended. The payment's already been made, but those deliveries will not be made.
All right, let's take another call, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Daniel in Illinois online, too. Daniel, welcome to JSEC Yo Live.
Hi, Daniel.
Hi, and thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Do you feel that the State Department, other than a travel ban, might issue a recall of American citizens? And if they do issue a recall, will that just escalate the tensions more, or will that be a bargaining chip?
I don't think I don't think we're going to see, Andy, an embassy recall, although there was shots fired in front of the U.S. embassy. Yep. But I do look, the travel warning says don't go because of arbitrary detention.
Well, one of the other things that's happened, Jay, is the military has removed 700 military families out of Turkey.
Yeah. So, Oh, there you go.
That's not good. Well, no, I mean, I got to tell you, I myself would not travel to Turkey right now because, for obvious reasons, we have a little bit higher profile here advocating as we do on this program with respect to the situation with Turkey and our involvement with the president of the United States. But I would say that it's a very dangerous country to be in right now, and I wouldn't advocate travel to Turkey right now.
Yeah, I think
personally.
That's fair. Yep. No, I think that's absolutely right. All right. We want to try to squeeze one more?
Well, we do have another call about that because people are asking about that directly. So Colleen in California on line four, I think it ties in directly. Colleen, welcome to JSEC Yo Live.
Hey,
hello.
Colleen.
Hello.
Yep.
That's my question. We have a church group that is going to Turkey in November. I'm concerned about them. Sounds like it might not be a good idea.
Well, there's a travel warning. Do we have the exact travel warning, Will? There's a travel warning up that says arbitrary detentions of U.S. citizens. I mean,
go to Israel.
Yeah, go to Israel instead. That's what I would recommend.
Folks, as we said throughout the show today, this is a great time to support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice at ACLJ.org. We have a matching challenge right now. Our goal for the month, we are about $400,000 short, $398,647 short of our goal right now as we speak, as I read that number. So we can reach that goal in the next couple of days in our matching challenge because this is a time where whatever you're able to donate is double. So a $20 donation is $40 for the American Center for Law and Justice so that we can bring you this broadcast, so we can do all of the cases that we do across the country, all of the cases we do across the world, all of the policy work that we do, all of the people that takes, the resources that it requires. We do it because of your support. That's the only way we're able to do this work. And again, you donate online at aclj.org. This is the time to do it, our matching challenge. Be right back.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, aclj.org.
I'm talking about freedom. I'm talking about freedom. Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
They should have given him back a long time ago. And Turkey has, in my opinion, acted very, very badly. So we haven't seen the last of that. We are not going to take it sitting down. They can't take our people. So you will see what happens.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Here was the tweet that started. Turkey has taken advantage of the United States for many years. They are now holding our wonderful Christian pastor, who I must now ask to represent our country as a great patriot hostage. We will pay nothing for the release of an innocent man, but we are cutting back on Turkey. And I will tell you this, that the fact of the matter is, and you need to understand this, the scope and nature of what we're dealing with here, is he is now held hostage. Let me give you my official statement as Pastor Brunson's lawyer. I also spoke with the president last night and again multiple times yesterday on this involving Pastor Brunson, and he is committed to his release, but we're not going to, he's being held hostage and we're not going to pay ransom. That's what this is. Here's what our official statement is in support of Pastor Brunson. In diplomacy, there are bumps in the road. Clearly, we have hit one. However, we remain hopeful for the pastor's release on an expeditious basis, but let me be clear. We fully support the president's unwillingness to pay ransom for a hostage to Turkey, a so-called NATO ally. That's the official position of the American Center for Law and Justice, my position as the pastor's lawyer. The president has also made it very clear on what he's expecting here. Let me quickly go to Jordan. I want to go to Jordan and Than with this, and that is governmental action on the U.S. part has just begun.
That's right. I mean, Turkey feels like they're feeling pain right now. Don't buy iPhones, which, by the way, who there can afford it right now? And if dump your Coca-Cola out. I mean, okay, that's over sanctions over the Minister of Justice and the Minister of Interior and a delay in the F-35 and some of the idea that there may be more sanctions if Pastor Brunson's not released. Imagine if there are more sanctions actually impose. What happens to their economy? The people who right now can be, kind of act out in the streets and think that they're supporting their strongman government here. I don't think that lasts so long. This will be a true test, as we've already brought up. Is this Turkey that says we're done with NATO and we want to be treated like an Iran, like a North Korea, like live under sanctions, live not as a part of the West, not as part of an ally? Do we want to hold hostages for ransom money? Or are we going to get our act together here after we feel the pain of a U.S. sanctions regime, which they have not yet felt and they are not used to? They are not Iran. They are not North Korea. They have never been through this kind of pain before. They are not Russia, even, in the sense that they know how to work through those situations with their financial institutions.
I want to go right to Than. Same thing governmentally. What do you think happens next year?
I think there are two main moves, Jay, both economic-based. First, the world still runs on the dollar. So if the United States, according to Secretary Mnuchin, it sounds to me like he's prepared to deny Turkey access to the dollar and to the U.S. banking system. Jordan's correct. Turkey will absolutely crater without access to the dollar and the banking system. And then number two, Jay, I really think it's tourism. I mean, we know the State Department has issued this travel warning because of arbitrary detention. Guess what? I think that's the next step for NATO allies. People will stop traveling to Turkey. And those two factors, the dollar and the U.S. banking system, and the lack of tourism drying up. Look out, Turkey.
How big is the Turkey tourist industry?
It is a huge industry. It is like the tourism industry in Greece. They want to attract tourists to come to Istanbul, to go into Cappadocia, to the interior of Turkey, to their beaches in Antalya, and to see the religious sites in Ephesus and all the places where St. Paul went and Christianity was born, which, by the way, is now a crime in Turkey, Christianization, according to their indictment. But they want to do all this, and this is not the way to do it. This is the opposite.
Folks, as we said throughout the show today, this is a great time to support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice at ACLJ.org. We have a matching challenge right now. Our goal for the month, we are about $400,000 short, $398,647 short of our goal. So you can support the work of the ACLJ. We can reach that goal in the next couple of days in our matching challenge because this is a time where whatever you're able to donate is doubled. So a $20 donation is $40 for the American Center for Law and Justice, so that we can bring you this broadcast, so that we can do all the cases that we do across the country, all the policy work that we do, all the people that takes, the resources that it requires. We do it because of your support. That's the only way we're able to do this work and again, you donate online at aclj.org. This is the time to do it, our matching challenge. Be right back.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, ACLJ.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110, and our second half hour has already kicked off. We had a good call, I think, to put it in perspective, a good comment coming on Periscope from Laura, and I answered it for our Facebook and Periscope audience, but I wanted to explain it to all of you so you understand what Pastor Brunson and his family have been through. Laura wrote, just how long has the pastor been held? So this began really during, the transition, it was before the U.S. election. Right before the U.S. election, it was not resolved quickly, even though initially he was held in a detention facility for where you would like be, you'd be deported. So even while the Trump campaign was turning into the Trump transition team, this issue was being worked on. So that's how long the Trump team, Vice President Pence, and of course President Trump taking the direct lead almost every single day when necessary, Secretary of State Pompeo and others, their whole staffs. But David, that's how long it's been worked on. So, which means we are getting closer and closer to 2 years, 730 days. So I think that's very important when you point out these messages of strength from the U.S. President to Brunson, which he knew we could communicate to him directly via phone to, again, represent his country as a great patriot because he's now a hostage. I think it just underscores that when we go through the time. Sometimes we forget how long this has gone on. It's gone on since before President Trump was elected. And really, the work from the Trump team began during the Trump transition before they had even taken the power. Because remember, we had those periods of time. There was no Secretary of State. There was a Secretary of State that wasn't very effective. And we got Mike Pompeo in, and things started really changing, and the president really engaging. But it's tough.
This is tough negotiating. Let's go right back to the phones at 800-684-3110.
Yeah, let's go to, I think this is a really interesting, unique call, to a Tyler in Idaho on line 6. Tyler, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Tyler.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Yep.
Is there a possibility that Turkey will close the Dardanelles Strait to American shipping vessels in response to sanctions from the U.S.?
That would be a provocation act of war, in my view. What do you think, Andy?
That would be an act of war, but it also would implicate the Russians, because the Russians use those as from the Black Sea into the Sea of Marmara and then ultimately into the Aegean, and that would be the last thing that Erdogan would want,
Frank
a
Cole,
war with the Russians and a war with the Americans as well. That's not going to happen.
And that would have dramatic impacts on the economy if they closed the Dardanelles.
Absolutely.
That's like the Iranians with the Straits of Hormuz. I mean, you start doing this.
Absolutely, yep. But we should not underestimate Erdogan's willingness to put his pride before the Turkish economy.
Yeah. All right, go ahead. We're going to take more calls. 1-800-684-3110. Yep. But before I do that, Than, is there any talk of a specific additional sanctions that the Congress and the Senate, I mean, we know, of course, they're working on the F-35 situation. Is there anything else being talked about or even whispered about?
Yeah, there is, Jay. I mean, the appropriations season is upon us, and Senator Lankford and Senator Shaheen have promised additional sanctions during that process. They haven't decided exactly which ones will be in play, but they have promised to move more if that October 1st date comes without additional measures. I would just note, though, Jay, everything that we've talked about so far, that doesn't need additional statutory authority. So I think Lankford and Shaheen are willing to go that extra layer, but most of this, like denying access to the dollar, that can happen without additional congressional action.
Yeah, there you go. All right, we're taking more calls. 1-800-684-3110. Let's go right to him.
Lynette is calling in from New York on line 5. Lynette, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, Lynette.
Thank you so much for taking my call. God bless you. I've been praying for each of you and all of you regularly, and I'm going to continue that.
So you live, before you go into your question, you live in Long Island, right?
Yes, I do.
Where?
I live in Wyandanch. I work in Woodbury.
Oh, Woodbury.
So I was born in Brooklyn.
I was born in Brooklyn and lived in Jericho. There you go. We're neighbors. All right, very good. Go ahead with your question.
Absolutely, and I'm so proud of another Long Islander doing so great.
There you go.
My comment is, yes, I'm in 100% support of President Trump's and his administration's position and your position as well. And I'm so grateful for the wisdom and the courage and the persistence that I see demonstrated there. My question is in regards to other countries' reaction to this. I believe it was Qatar that stated that they were going to try to boost the lira in response to all this. So my question is, do you think that there are going to be other countries that will try to follow that lead and make it even more difficult for us to get Pastor Brunson released?
Harry?
Well, I think Turkey will indeed try. It has reached out, for instance, to Germany. The Turkish government has intervened in the economy in order to stabilize the lira. But it's important to note that none of these efforts deal with the fundamental problems in the Turkish economy. So what Turkey is doing now is very much like a cancer patient taking painkillers. It does nothing to deal with the underlying disease, even though it alleviates the pain in the short run. So these measures will not necessarily work in the long run. They are face-saving moves, I believe, in the short run.
I also think that those can be moves like a cutter to save their own economic interest there. So maybe get in, boost up, and get out. They're gonna handle things economically a little different with financial planning. So I don't see that so much as we're trying to save Turkey, because I don't think they would do that. That's not the kind of allies that you get in the Middle East usually. They do things usually that would benefit themselves. So if they need a little boost in the currency for some of their own reason, I think that's probably more likely what we saw. What we'd have to see is some mass movement by all these countries around the world to boosting their economy, kind of standing up in the U.S. And I just don't see that in light of what this is about. It's about an American pastor. I don't see those countries really wanting to get into it with the U.S. on that.
I want to play, and you're talking about the sanctions. Let's play Secretary Mnuchin's statement. He said, sir, we're doing well. And then he goes on. Let's take a listen.
How are you doing with sanctions on Turkey? And as you know, we doubled up the tariffs on steel and aluminum. Aluminum will happen very shortly. How are you doing with sanctions, please?
Sir, we're doing well. As you know, we were very clear with our counterparts there, both Secretary Pompeo and myself, on the release of the pastor. We've put sanctions on several of their cabinet members. Working with you, we have more that we're planning to do if they don't release him quickly.
So I want you to understand what's going on here. The President of the United States, the Secretary of State, the Vice President, and the Secretary of the Treasury are all involved in obtaining the release of Pastor Brunson, who is now, as the president calls him, a great American patriot who is being held as a hostage. And those are strong words coming from our president, but that's the reality of what we've got. Let's go ahead. Let's take another call here before the break. We are taking your calls at 800-684-3110.
Yep. Patrick in Nevada. I think that this is something shared by a lot of people. Patrick, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Thank you, Jordan and Jay.
Yep.
Jay, because we're similar age, and I've spoken with you before.
Yep.
I was a United States Marine.
Yes, sir.
And I remember when I was in with Carter, and he had our military so demoralized
yep.
because of
yep.
the hostages
yep.
over in Iran. And then when Reagan came in, man, we felt like finally we've got somebody who's taking care of us and going to take charge. I see a great similarity between that and what the Obama administration did and how they demoralized our military and that how now how much we love President Trump and the backbone and support that he shows.
Well, the Defense Authorization Act then showed a tremendous boost to the military. I mean, it was finally got a raise after, 11 years of basically nothing?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the strength of the United States, Jay, it's only worth something if you're willing to use it. And I actually think the NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Act, showed both sides of the strength. On one side, it raised the pay for the troops and authorized a whole range of defense programs throughout the Pentagon. At the other hand, on the other side of the equation, Jay, it used the stick approach and said, look, if you're not going to act like an ally, we're not going to partner with you on security programs such as the F-35. We're going to delay the delivery of those jets. So, Jay, I mean, I think the call is right. I think the strength of the United States is being used, and it's particularly apropos when you compare it to the last administration that did pay for hostages. This one has specifically said that they will not. So I think great caller, great point, and the strength of the United States is on display.
All right, we're going to go ahead and go get ready for our next segment of the broadcast. So the last segment, you can ask us a question on any topic, but of course, we're getting a lot of questions on this one. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. So we'll take your calls. If you ask me, do I think that Brunson will be released? The answer is yes. Can I tell you the date? The answer is no, I cannot. Do I know the president, the vice president, the secretary of treasury, and the secretary of state are committed to the release? Yes. Do I believe he's being held as a hostage? The answer is yes. That's the status of the case right now. I said this earlier. I'll say it again. In diplomacy, there's bumps in the road. There's no question we've hit a bump. I spoke to Pastor Brunson. I've spoke to the president on this. There's full commitment to see the release. But, Jordan, they're not going to pay hostage money. They're not paying ransom.
No. I mean, this is, again, you don't do that. I mean, this is acting like, again, it's not how allies are supposed to work together, even in disagreements. The fact that Erdogan pulled this stunt is, I guess, not shocking anymore, but it shows a deterioration relationship, and it's why we need to pray that Pastor Brunson remains strong, as President Trump tweeted. We'll be right back.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, ACLJ.org.
President tweeted, Turkey has taken advantage of the United States for many years. They are now holding our wonderful Christian pastor, who I must now ask to represent our country as a great patriot hostage. We will pay nothing for the release of an innocent man, but we are cutting back on Turkey and, of course, additional sanctions. I made this statement. This is our official statement from the American Center for Law and Justice and my official statement as the pastor's lawyer. In diplomacy, there are bumps in the road. Clearly, we have hit one. However, we remain hopeful for the release of Pastor Brunson on an expeditious basis. But let me be clear, we fully support the president's unwillingness to pay ransom for a hostage to the nation of Turkey, a NATO ally. That is our statement on this. Obviously, a lot of moving parts on this whole situation. All right, we're taking your calls, 800-684-3110. Let's go right back to him.
Sandy in Missouri on line three. Sandy, welcome to JSEC Live. You're on the air.
Sandy, go ahead. You're on.
You know, thank you. A fan for many years.
Right.
I wanted to know, I had heard that there were other Americans held over there, and I'm wondering if that's true, and are we going to do anything about it?
There are other Americans that are being held. I think that it's clear to say that there are ongoing negotiations for them as well. Fan, do you have anything else on that?
Well, I would just tell you this, the NDAA bill we talked about, Jay, referenced one of them, Serkan Golge. They referenced the staff of the United States Embassy not by name. That was strategic, Jay. So I think we should echo the same thing. It's Andrew Brunson, Serkan Golge, and then United States mission staff there in the embassy in Turkey.
All right, let's go ahead. We're gonna try to go through these calls again. If you want to talk to us, 1-800-684-3110.
Yep, let's go to Dale in Indiana, online one. Dale, welcome to JSEC Live.
Hi, Dale, you're on the air.
Thank you. I support President Trump completely in the sanctions, but I wonder if these economic sanctions don't work, will there be a possibility of some type of military intervention or military action?
Not likely to see military. I can't imagine a scenario where you'd see military action, but let's focus on the first part, the economic sanctions. Ultimately, I'll start with Jordan on this. The economic sanctions will work.
Yeah, I mean,
because it can be severe.
It's not a country that is used to dealing with being sanctioned. They're used to being treated like a NATO ally, basically being able to operate freely, even though they had kind of a little bit of corruption, a little bit of a black market going on. They've been treated as if kind of a regular world player when it comes to the economy. So they're not used to, they're not North Korea or even China or yep. Russia or Iran, where they're used to dealing with what it's like to be a sanctioned government and a people who are sanctioned when the bread isn't full in the stores, when the wheat is not available, when things start drying up, when electricity doesn't. I mean, they're not used to that. And by the way, get an image of Turkey right now. They're not at that point yet either.
No.
So, I mean, that's down the road, but they want to get there. I mean, you can get a country there really fast, and then it takes a long time to pull out of
that. Andy, what do you think?
Yeah, I don't think military operations is really going to ensue as a consequence of this. I think the economic sanctions and the economic warfare that we are waging against them and the imposition of these severe restrictions is really going to bring the Turks to their knees. And I agree with Jordan. Turkey is not a country that is used to being sanctioned. I mean, when is the last time we sanctioned Turkey?
Right.
I mean, I don't know that we have ever sanctioned Turkey with the pressure that we have put on it. I commend the president for doing this because even though it's one American, that's a one American too many.
What do you think?
So it's important to keep in mind two things. First, the United States can impose additional sanctions on Turkey. In addition, the United States can impose additional tariffs on Turkey.
And those are different. So explain the difference.
Those are different. So with respect to tariffs, we're talking about essentially placing a tax on the importation of Turkish goods into the United States. And Turkey needs the United States economy, particularly in the agricultural sector. But in the financial sector, Turkey is highly dependent on access to U.S. dollars. And so the United States can impose additional sanctions with respect to financial transactions in dollar-denominated currencies, I should say, and the United States has the capability to ratchet that up exponentially. So Turkey has not seen anything yet if they wish to play an economic game with the United States.
All right. I think let's take another phone call. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Michael in California, online too. Michael, welcome to JSEC Yo Live.
Hi, Michael. You're on.
Thank you. I've got a quick question, a couple of questions.
Okay.
The military we have there and the personnel dependents that are there, are they confined to the base or are they still spending all their money in the public sector?
Well, no, we have an Interlink air base is the largest military operation in the zone or in the region that we have. So Than, that is, but when you talk about the military action, the stop on the F-35s becomes very significant for the Turkish military. I'll let you finish your other question in a moment. Go ahead, Than.
Yeah, the penalty here would really be on the Turks. The U.S. troops are not confined to the base, but that is a very important base for us, Jay. But I think the F-35s, the access to the F-35 program, would be the first security component that you would see taken away from the Turks. Remember, what passed in the NDAA bill was a 90-day delay in the delivery of the F-35. But look, if Pastor Brunson's not home, as that 90-day period starts to expire, I can guarantee you that the F-35s are still on the table as a leverage point. So Incirlik Air Force Base is very important to the United States, but in the security partnership between the United States and Turkey, it's far more important to Turkey than it is to the United States. I'm not saying it's unimportant. We want that alliance, but Turkey, or the United States, can defend itself far better than Turkey can.
JT on Facebook writes, doesn't demanding the ransom totally destroy their argument? There's a legal case against the pastor.
Great
question. You see what happened here is that President Trump took that out to the open. So President Erdogan, these guys, again, they're not used to dealing with this kind of president. They have this discussion, and President Trump says, you know what? I'm going to tell everybody what you just did. And he did via Twitter. You asked me for money to get Pastor Brunson released. So don't tell me about don't have your Minister of Justice come out anymore and tell me, don't interfere in our judicial processes. You wouldn't want us doing that. You begged me for money. You asked for a ransom. You are a kidnapper, Erdogan. And we'll treat you like that until Brunson is released. So I think what likely happened there is it was president to president, and these presidents just don't believe. They think the president's always bluffing. I just don't get it anymore. I mean, how many times does this president have to show it is not a bluff? There are red lines. When they are crossed, he does what he says will happen.
Kim on Facebook says, I'm praying for Pastor Brunson and his family. Lucy says, why was Pastor Brunson... I think Harry hit something he didn't mean to hit. Either that, or I heard like a mom coming into the studio. She said, so I'm praying for Pastor Brunson and his family. Why was Pastor Brunson in Turkey? He ran a church, a small Protestant church in Turkey. And then Michael says, I think Turkey will buckle. And I tend to think that's correct.
Folks, as we've said throughout the show today, this is a great time to support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice at ACLJ.org. We have a matching challenge right now. Our goal for the month, we are about $400,000 short, $398,647 short of our goal right now as we speak, as I read that number. So you can support the work of the ACLJ. We can reach that goal in the next couple of days in our matching challenge because this is a time where whatever you're able to donate is double. So a $20 donation is $40 for the American Center for Law and Justice so that we can bring you this broadcast, so we can do all of the cases that we do across the country, all of the cases we do across the world, all of the policy work that we do, all of the people that takes, the resources that it requires. We do it because of your support. That's the only way we're able to do this work and again, you donate online at ACLJ.org. This is the time to do it, our matching challenge. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, aclj.org.